Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This time last year, people were scrambling to get to the Guggenheim to catch the last days of Hilma af Klint, Paintings for the Future. The Swedish abstract painter's show broke records and became the Guggenheim's most visited exhibition in its 60-year history. More than 500,000 people saw her enormous, inventive, and moving paintings. So little was known about her, something that was in part her doing, and in something that was an outgrowth of sexism in art history. We learn about both in a new documentary examining the life of this pioneer of abstract art. The film is called Beyond the Visible, Hilma af Klint. Klint created abstract art in the early as 1906. Her large works were colorful and imposing explorations of nature and the spiritual. And we learn about her influence on artists like Andy Warhol. However, as an unmarried woman who sought education and travel, which, remember, did not fly in the early 20th century, Klint was often told her work was inappropriate. Beyond the Visible is both a look at Klint's influence in the art world and examination of why the art world hid her from us. Beyond the Visible, Hilma af Klint is directed by Helena Dirschke. It will be released tomorrow, April 17th. If you're in New York, it can be screened on kinonowkinow.com/Hilma af Klint BAM. If you're in another part of the U.S., you can find the film at kinomarquee.com, Beyond the Visible. Hilma af Klint, we'll make sure we put that on our social media. Helena Dirschke is joining us now. Helena, welcome to All of It.
Yes, thank you. Hello. This is a hello from Berlin.
Hello from Berlin, New York to Berlin. So when you first learned about Hilma af Klint, what intrigued you most about her as a person?
Well, of course, not as a person, but her art. I mean, I was actually overwhelmed the first time I saw her works in an exhibition. And yeah, I was absolutely flabbergasted and I couldn't believe what I see, especially I couldn't believe that it was not shown for such a long time. It's now, I think, yeah, almost 6 years ago when I saw her work first in my life. So, yeah.
As a filmmaker, where did you start? Where did you start when you wanted to tell her story?
I started in the museum when I was first there and spoke with the curator, whom I met at the opening. And I immediately said, okay, let's meet for a coffee and tell me a bit more about that. And she acquainted me with a foundation, Hilma af Klint Foundation in Stockholm. And this way I met Johan af Klint, who is the grandnephew of Hilma af Klint. And his father was the one who inherited the whole work of Hilma af Klint. And so we met, and he was a great, great help. And he showed me all around Sweden and Stockholm, all the places where Hilma af Klint lived and where she had worked. And yeah, but it still needed some work when I started. I mean, I worked for 5 years on this film, and I had to say the research was going on almost before the editing ended. So new things were coming up constantly, but that was absolutely gorgeous because it was very, very, very interesting. Always something new popped out, a new photograph, a new letter, and there haven't been much private letters of Hilma af Klint.
It's interesting. I mentioned in the intro that one of the reasons we don't know as much about her is actually of her own doing. And you mentioned she left all of her work to family members, but she left it with a stipulation. What was the instruction? And in your research, why did she leave that instruction?
I think that is mentioned very often. That, I mean, she left the instruction that the works shouldn't be shown for 20 years after her death. She died in 1944. And I think what you really have to realize by then is that the Second World War was still going on. So she didn't know when is the end. Maybe she did, but at the end she knew the world was somehow in a mess and probably should wait. I have to say, this is something everybody seems to focus on, that she by herself said that, but this is not really uncommon. Many, many artists, or let's say some artists did that with their work or some parts of their work. And I think that was very smart, because when the works were supposed to be shown or opened to the public was in the mid of the 60s. And it is really outrageous that nobody realized in the 60s what they which treasure they have been. And it was in 86 when the paintings were shown for the first time, and that was in Los Angeles. So it took another 20 years. So it was more than 46 years, I think. And that is something she did not stipulate.
Of course, and the film gets into that, and we'll talk about it in just a minute. My guest is Helena Dyrska. She's the director of Beyond the Visible, Hilma af Klint. Let's talk a little bit about her life, and then we'll talk about the way the art world reacted to her. She studied at the Royal Academy of Arts. How was that regarded back then, that she studied there?
Actually, she was not the first generation. Sweden was quite open, and they started very early in the mid of the 19th century. They started to let female students study art in Stockholm. So that was, I think, one of the earliest countries in Europe to start, to let women study at the Art Academy. And she was, so I think, the second generation. And it seems to be that she was somehow supported by her father and maybe some other family members, that she could do that. And she was, of course, not the only one. So I think lots of unmarried women were somehow in Stockholm, obviously studying art. So that was not so unusual.
Before she made abstract art, she was involved in portraiture and landscape. What was important about that work and special about that work?
I mean, it was quite common that she was doing somehow the quite common things in an impressionistic style. She did absolutely gorgeous landscapes and botanical drawings and studies. And I think that's something that you can also see in her abstract works later, because she is doing abstract painting from botanical plants or something, and plants and trees. So in the end, she ends up there doing the same thing, but it looks completely different. But it's very, very, she made a living somehow with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is how she could do a living. She was doing portraits, landscapes, she was selling them. But the moment she started to do paint abstract, she did not, she somehow stopped it. I mean, she just did some portraits and some landscapes, I think, just to make a living. But I think it was a hard time for her, because the step she took to the abstraction is really like a gap. You don't want to look back then. So it must have cost her really some strength to to do a portrait again. Yeah.
Part of sort of the mystery around her, which you allude to in the title of the film, which is Beyond the Visible, was her interest in religious and scientific discoveries, theosophy, radio waves, quantum theory. How do we see this in her work, her investment in the non-visible?
You can see that very, I mean, I think everybody who has encountered her work in the exhibition, especially in the Guggenheim exhibition, you could see those paintings as well, where you can really see that she really depicts some of the of something of the science of the natural sciences, as all the kind of lights that we could not see, the rays. By the way, she has also there's one painting called The Dove. It's from a series called The Dove, the first, and there she is showing something like a DNA spiral, and it looks like a spiral from the DNA spiral, like we know it, but it hasn't been, nobody has seen that by that. It was just discovered in the 50s. And so you can see many, many things, or things that she has a series called The Atom, and it's hard to describe that now on the radio. I mean, but I think most of the people will know what I'm talking about. They have an enormous energy, the paintings, and it's not only the scientific side, of course, because she really was trying to look at life. She was trying to look at the world, and not how we see it, but how it probably is beyond that what we see. Because she was very much aware of that, because that happened around the 19th century, that it was discovered that we human beings can just perceive 5% of the light. And if we can just see 5% of the light there is, and all the X-rays and everything, we can't really see those things. She thought, she really invented something, a whole artistic world to make visible what we don't see.
My guest is Halina Dyshka. The name of her film is Beyond the Visible, Hilma af Klint. So the documentary really takes to task the art world that ignored her. Multiple interviewees, film historians mentioned that people weren't necessarily ready for her work, as was when one person put it. Someone else said, Julia Voss, yeah, says Hilma af Klint would, quote, mm-hmm, cause such an upheaval in history that some would say it's better to leave her outside. Mm-hmm. Why was this a reoccurring theme?
Yeah. Yeah, I asked myself that as well. I thought, why? I couldn't believe that. And so many museums, so many art historians obviously ignored her, were not interested. And I have to say, now that I've made the film, I've made it very clear in the film, I said it now out loud, that she was the one, earlier than Kandinsky, Maria Malevich, and so on, doing these abstract things. And the reason why I had to say it is because I knew nobody would listen otherwise. Because this mm-hmm. those are the rules of the art world. They made the rules somehow. Everybody followed. So here are the rules. Okay, I heard them, and I saw that, and I said, okay, this is something that we have to say that. We have to really make sure that everybody is now knows that they can't go on like that. Right now, I have to say, it's a bit different, because Hilma af Klint is not only, I mean, she was not interested in art history. She was not interested in being part of the art history. She didn't play the same rules. She was more interested in conquering new ideas and conquering new states of your mind, and where can you go as a human being, and where is the truth behind everything. But of course, it is very important to include her in this whole context of art history, because that's how we are getting to talk about her. And everybody's talking about her. And of course, I think if nobody would have started this discussion, even the Guggenheim wouldn't have shown the paintings. Mm-hmm. And the MoMA is now showing one painting of Hilma af Klint. And I wondered, they were not really open to give me an interview, because I asked them when I started the research years ago, and because I wanted them to explain why they excluded her. But obviously they thought that is not necessary, and now they're showing the painting of Hilma af Klint, which is somehow great, but I would be interested if they have changed their mind, or if they just want to be part of something that is now bigger than just the work of Hilma af Klint. But everybody thinks, you can't exclude her
yeah,
now.
You do an incredible side-by-side comparison in the film, which is really, really tells the story, I think, in a very straightforward manner.
Yeah, everybody loves that, and I did that, of course. I thought it's so obvious, because if you encounter Hilma af Klint's work for the first time, you think, oh, I have seen that before, and you think, oh, that's great, and that doesn't that look like Miró, or doesn't that look like Kandinsky, and that looks like Paul Klee, and here is Malevich, or even Albers, and funny enough, those are paintings who are worth millions. I don't do that in the film, but I could have written the numbers, you know, the price beneath mm-hmm. the paintings for Cy Twombly or Joseph Albers, and they are hanging in the MoMA. And even at Kandinsky costs more than $60 million or something. I thought it's a joke because it's funny to show that, because then you can say, okay, what are you talking about? Because it was 5-6 years ago, people said, this is no art. And then I said, okay, we can talk or discuss about some paintings, but we cannot discuss about a yellow square. A yellow square is a yellow square. And if you say this is art with Josef Albers, but not with Hilma af Klint, then I don't understand the world anymore. And that's why I put it in.
It's quite a wonderful moment in the film.
Yeah.
We need to wrap up for this moment. The name of the film is Beyond the Visible, Hilma af Klint. It is by Helena Dyrska. Helena, thank you so much for joining us and for making the film.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.